Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
A happy Monday. Welcome to Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetMGM Network. I'm your host, PJ Glasser. We got a great show for you guys coming up today and over the next 30 minutes. Andrew Jones is stopping by. We're going to talk some Bill Belichick and North Carolina Tar Heels with Andrew. We're also going to talk about the Cleveland Browns on the show today. We'll dive into today's Major League Baseball slate. And it is a Monday. I'll tell you who I think are the top 10 teams in Major League Baseball. And then we'll wrap everything up with our favorite plays of the day. As always, we'd love to hear from you guys throughout the show. Chime in with any questions, any comments, any best bets that you have for us. You can do so on Twitch or on YouTube at the BetMGM Network. Send in your questions. We'll get to them over the next 30 minutes. And if you guys miss any part of the show today as well, if you want to get any of our college football NFL previews, go check out the Send It In podcast, which is available wherever you get your podcasts. Glasses in sessions. Go to the Glasser guest line. Check in with Andrew Jones. Give him a follow on X at Heel247, publisher of Tar Heel 24/7, and also an Orioles fan as well. Andrew's my guy. We were talking O's before we came on the air. But Andrew, I do want to talk some North Carolina with you. And Bill Belichick, has it still hit you that he is the head coach at North Carolina?
Yeah, we've had him enough where we've kind of gotten into a routine now and sort of getting an idea of how he goes about things, which the pro guys think he keeps saying that he's a lot more open with us and a lot more available than they thought he would be. And one of the things I've been told by some people in the program is that he has grown comfortable with understanding what you give a fan base in college as opposed to the NFL. He doesn't have a Robert Kraft to answer to. He's got 6 million Carolina fans to answer to. It's a little different because you ask them for money in order to run your program. So he's warm to that idea. I think he doesn't mind questions about the backup guard, which maybe he didn't get too often in the NFL because there was a little more drama that people were driven by. I know that when I covered the NFL, they kind of wanted stories about the drama. It was a Cam Newton day, so there was plenty of it with the Carolina Panthers. So I think that as he's gone, as each time we get him, he's a little more comfortable. He's a little bit more information. He doesn't deflect questions unless he simply can't answer them. And those are usually questions about the state of the game because he's like, look, I haven't gone through a season yet. I can't answer that question. I'll defer to somebody else. But things about his team, he will give you a little bit of an answer. But one thing I've learned, it's the follow-up question that really gets the stuff. He may give you a little bit of a vanilla response, but if you specify with a follow-up, you're actually going to get something from him. And because of that, I've actually been able to quote him in stories that have been useful.
I'm not sure
we're going to get that.
What are some stuff that you've been getting that you think is useful as we get ready for the upcoming season? What's some stuff, some answers that you heard from Bill that you think was pretty fascinating?
Well, first of all, I think what's been interesting are the different players that they have made available. They're not taking requests from us who we want to talk to, which is the norm at most college programs. They're just sort of giving us who they choose. So why are they giving us certain guys? There's been a couple surprises. Last week, a redshirt freshman defensive tackle who played three snaps last year. We got him early in fall, in training camp. Why? So he'll say, look, he's doing real well. And we've been told that any guy we get means that they are playing exceptionally well. They're at least have a spot in the rotation, and maybe then some. We got a running back last week who's a veteran, but he's only played in 23 of 53 games because he's constantly hurt. Well, he's healthy now, and it's their way of saying, if this guy's healthy, he's going to help us. So when we ask him about those players, he'll actually go a little bit into why they're playing well and why they have selected them to talk to us. So you have to look. You have to squeeze a lot of this stuff as much as we can get out of it. And when you do that and do it with an open mind, you can sort of learn the progress that they're making, the direction they're going with certain things. And it helps to have sources. With some coaches, you can go in the front door and you get a lot of things. With this staff, you got to go through the side door. You got to sneak through a few windows to get information. And as we're getting into training camp, I have been able to get more and more sources to get that information.
How has the relationship been so far, Andrew, with the players? You know, I think that was a big question for all of us. We see him on the sideline all these years with the Patriots, this stoic guy. Do your job was their mantra, and we wondered what that interaction would be like with college kids. From what you've seen so far, maybe talking to some players, what's that relationship been with Bill and, you know, some of these 18, 19, 20-year-old kids?
I'll draw you a correlation to Mac Brown, who's a Hall of Famer for obvious reasons, but ran a different program, climate, culture than what you have right now with Belichick. So I was told a story just yesterday by a parent of a player. A year ago, if a sequence broke out in practice in which there was an altercation, the players would be kind of stripped down, like, you're not supposed to do that. This happened the other day, and it was celebrated within reason, because I think that there's a certain kind of battle mindset you have to have when you take the field for every snap, and at times that was missing previously, and it's missing in a lot of programs. The emphasis by Belichick to these kids is, every single time you have a foot near that field, you have to be 100% maximum ready to go. And they started installing that in their off-season workouts in the winter, and especially this summer with Moses Cabrera, who was his strength and conditioning coach with the Patriots. In fact, the first 3 years, he was the head strength and conditioning coach. The Patriots went to the Super Bowl 3 years, and they won two of them. So he has a formula that he swears by. And the players that have stuck around and made it this far, because they only have like 30 some odd players from last year's team still on the roster. They're the survivors, if you will. They get it, they embrace it, and because they get it, embrace it, and have stuck around, the new guys that have come in have pretty much embraced it as well. The climate in that building is very different than it was before, and it's what he wants. So his culture is already there. Whether or not they win against TCU and some of their teams in their schedule, we don't know. Nobody knows. But a lot of the Belichick-esque pieces are falling into place.
We're talking North Carolina football with Andrew Jones here on Send It In. Any questions you guys have on the heels, let us know and write them to us at the BetMGM Network on Twitch or on YouTube. Andrew, let's talk about the play on the field. Belichick, as we know, his calling card is defense. How do you expect that unit to look this year? I know they're replacing their entire front seven. The secondary should be pretty good. How do you think that unit's going to play this year?
They feel really good about the back seven. They brought in some very good linebackers. Andrew Simpson from Boise State. Everybody knows who follows college football closely. They know who he is. Kamari House was a true freshman at Washington last year, got better during the year. He's the other starter there. They have some veterans behind them. The secondary, they love. They love both corners. They think they have a chance to play in the NFL. They've got experience at safety. The massive question mark is up front. Leroy Jackson, whom I alluded to a moment ago, played three snaps against an FCS team last year, the only returning Tar Heel defensive lineman that got on the field. Wow. Now, they brought in a lot of guys, but they didn't bring in any 600-snap guys. C.J. Mims from East Carolina probably played the most snaps. Then they get a few guys Bryce Yates from Connecticut would have played more snaps had he not been hurt. They brought in Smith Vilbert from Penn State, but he was a 300 snap guy. So there are some players in that room that have been around in college football for a while. They're going to be asked to play more snaps than they have before. We'll find out if they didn't play a lot of snaps before because of who was in front of them, or maybe they weren't good enough to be out there. That to me is the big test. If this team could stop the run, and if the linemen could do their job and allow the guys behind them to make plays, they have a chance to be a pretty good team. But if they can't stop the run, you know what happens then? It doesn't matter what you are anywhere else. You're going to struggle. So that will be the number one thing I watch when they open up against TCU is, even though TCU's got a really good quarterback, can they stop the run up front? If they can, they have a chance to be a pretty good team.
Offensively, obviously replacing the quarterback, got to replace Hampton, the running back, some of their top receivers. But Belichick and company, they really invested in that offensive line, bringing in some good guys through the portal. What do you expect that offense to look like? Freddie Kitchens is the OC. Is it going to be a work in progress early, Andrew, and hoping that maybe they can hit their stride late in the season? What do you see from the offense?
It's going to be more work in progress now. They lost Austin Blaski yesterday, broke a foot in practice, and he's out 6 to 8 weeks. They hope to get him back by the Clemson game. Mm-hmm. I was told like they really don't want to face Clemson up front without Austin Blaski on the field. And he was versatile. He could start at any of the five spots, but he was starting at center. So that changes things. When you got to move a backup to center, someone who's never started at this level at center before, either they were in FCS or they were at Rice, that could be problematic because then you're filling in other spots. So they're a little bit concerned about the offensive line, and they're a little bit concerned about how much they can use Gio Lopez at quarterback. He is the starting quarterback right now. He's way ahead of Max Johnson and Bryce Baker. And because he and Johnson are so different, they can only package certain things for one guy and certain for the other. So when you're preparing for a potential injury, there are some differences with what they would be able to do with either guy. But I think what you're going to see more of than we realized at the beginning, or we thought, expected, is RPO. A lot of people thought this is going to be straight pro stuff, but with Gio Lopez and his ability to run, and he's a strong dude, he can make tacklers miss. They're going to run a lot of RPO. And I asked someone a couple of days ago, or someone in the program, about Davion Goss, whom a lot of people think is the next 1,000-yard rusher at Carolina. Will he be that 1,000-yard rusher? And they said, with Gio there, he may not get enough touches. So I think you're going to see a lot of design runs, a lot of RPO runs for Gio Lopez, and they're going to try to throw to a bunch of speedy receivers out of that. So it'll be interesting. Again, timing's going to be massive for a quarterback who likes to move. And sometimes that can be disastrous. Sometimes it can be a beautiful thing. We're going to have to wait and see on that.
I love it. That's some good stuff, Andrew, because maybe looking at Gio Lopez, betting him some rushing props this season for North Carolina. We'll leave you with this, the schedule for UNC. Andrew, I mean, it really sets up well for him. You mentioned the Clemson game. That's really the only top team here in the preseason that they face, right? No Miami, no SMU, no Georgia Tech, no Louisville for UNC. That win total is about 6.5, 7.5 for North Carolina this year. I mean, is there a path for them to maybe get to Charlotte for the ACC title game? Do you think their ceiling is maybe only 8 or 9 wins this season? What do you think is best case for the Tar Heels this year, and ultimately, what do you think they end up doing this season?
Funny, I just posted about 10 minutes ago on our site a podcast saying, who knows? It really is, who knows? I think the win range is 4 to 10, mm-hmm. and a lot of things have to fall into place. When your question mark is your defensive line, and you're not 100% sure about the offensive line, and then you have a quarterback that you have to be creative with, that usually shouldn't bode a lot of confidence. Shouldn't bode well for confidence. However, the parts are nice. We just got to see them come together. So I would probably go in the middle of that. I think that's safe because they're going to win a couple maybe that people think they shouldn't. They're going to lose a couple maybe they think that people think they shouldn't, which is pretty typical for North Carolina football. And really, I think that opener is huge. Are they clean in the opener? I asked Bill Belichick last week about the fact that when he was in the NFL, he was a head coach of 110 preseason games in his career in the NFL. He'll have none this month. They had those combined scrimmages in the NFL. They have none of that in college. So he's going to have to figure out what his unit is across the board, including the 66 guys currently on the special teams depth chart. They got to figure all that out before they kick off against TCU, because TCU will go into that game knowing who it is. Mm-hmm. Sonny Dykes knows his program. They got a really good quarterback. They got a lot of dudes back. They won 9 games a year ago. They're a pretty good club, good program. They're going to know who they are a lot more than North Carolina will. There'll be a lot of scrambling and figuring out as that game goes on. And Belichick is considered a genius. I have no reason to doubt that. We'll see what kind of genius he is that night. He could write a new script about his career, and we could see it unfold that night. So it's really difficult to gauge where they're going to be. I think they have a lot more good parts than people are saying. Because when they say, yeah, you look at that roster, it doesn't really jump out. And I'm asking people, how often they watched Jacksonville State last year? They don't know who Will Osteen is. Nobody watched Boise State. Nobody watched UConn and saw Price Yates. Nobody saw these guys. Nobody really watched Washington that much after the middle of the season, so they don't even know who Thad Dixon is. So my point is that I think these are guys that are pretty good, but they're also getting coached up, and they've survived the Belichick Moses Cabrera way. So there's an element of toughness and smarts to them that could carry them through certain games, including the opener. So that's a tough question. I think people that bet on the Carolina season, I think you're just, you know, you're blinding yourself and chucking darts.
One of the most fascinating teams going into the season, no question about it. Andrew Jones, give him a follow on X, at Heel247, publisher for Tar Heel 24/7 as well. Andrew, really appreciate the time. Great stuff. Hope your Heels have a better season than our Orioles do, man. Talk to you again soon.
Appreciate that. We'll talk Orioles sometime.
Yeah, we absolutely will. Andrew Jones, great having him on to talk some North Carolina Tar Heels. Let's continue talking Tar Heels here on Send It In. And again, that week one opener against TCU, going to be a fun one on Monday night. Right now, TCU about a 3-point favorite in that game at Chapel Hill. But look at the schedule. We had Joe Giglio on to preview NC State a couple weeks ago, and he talked about North Carolina being one of his dark horses in the ACC, and it was because of the schedule that North Carolina has. And you can see why he thinks maybe they could be a dark horse, because look at the schedule that North Carolina has. All they really play is Clemson. There's no Miami. There's no Louisville. There's no Georgia Tech. There's no Florida State on that schedule. They pretty much play all of the bottom teams in the conference. And then the one good team they do play is Clemson, and they play them at home. So really favorable schedule for Bill Belichick and company in year one. I think Andrew's right. There are probably going to be some games that they lose that they'll probably be favored in that people maybe don't expect them to lose in. But that's a really favorable schedule for Bill Belichick and company in year one. I totally agree with Andrew, though. Betting like the win total on North Carolina at 7.5 right now at BetMGM. The over is plus 140. The under is minus 165. Like, there's just no bet to be made at those prices and at that win total. For them to make the ACC title game is 10-1. Maybe that's worth a bet, like betting North Carolina to make the ACC. Because, again, Belichick's arguably the greatest NFL coach of all time. The schedule is very doable. Like, if they go on a great run in a pretty weak ACC, avoiding just about all the top teams, maybe they do get to Charlotte and play for the ACC title game. So I think that would be the one bet in the futures market maybe I would take a look at. But the way that I want to bet North Carolina this season, especially early on, is I'm looking at unders for UNC. We know Belichick's calling card is his defense, and that's going to be the strength of this team. And what Andrew said is the weakness of North Carolina's team is their defensive line. And on offense, with Gio Lopez and a running quarterback, North Carolina probably going to be a predominantly run-first football team. So if I'm getting a team on offense that's going to have a running quarterback and want to impose their will and want to run the ball, and then on defense, I get a team whose question mark is their defensive line, and teams are going to want to run the ball against them, if I got running quarterback and offense and a team who can't stop the run on defense, that means that clock is going to continue to tick, and we're thinking unders. And of course, with Belichick being the head coach and defense being really strong, I think the unders are the way to go for North Carolina early on in the season. Freddie Kitchens is the offensive coordinator for North Carolina. We've seen Freddie Kitchens and what's that look like for the Cleveland Browns, so I'm not expecting a lot there. But I know with Belichick, the one thing that if we can count on something with North Carolina this year, because there's a lot of unknown, we're all going to watch this unfold together. If there's one thing maybe we can count on, it is Belichick getting that defense right. That back seven's supposed to be really good. Their secondary should be pretty solid as well. But I can't wait to see it. And that TCU game week one is going to be really, really fascinating to watch. But I do like betting unders early on with North Carolina this season. I think that is the way to go. Maybe take a little sprinkle on them to make it to the ACC title game at 10-1, because that is one of the easier schedules you're going to see any Power 4 team have this season. All right, speaking of Freddie Kitchens and the Cleveland Browns, let's wrap up the AFC North by talking a little Brownies on the show today. Point blank, I think this is going to be the worst team in football this season. Their win total is at 5.5. I know a lot of people think that the New Orleans Saints are going to be the worst team in the NFL. They certainly could. My money would be on Cleveland, and I like the bet fewest wins at plus 450. I mean, look at the schedule for Cleveland to start. Two division games right off the bat against the Bengals and Ravens, Burrow and Lamar. Then you get three straight games against the NFC North, which a lot of people feel like top to bottom, best division in football. Home against the Packers, at the Lions, and then you play the Vikings in London. And then you play at the Steelers. I mean, is there a shot that the Browns could be 0-6, 1-5 in those games? You're 1-5, 0-6. Stefanski's seat gets hot. They probably bench Flacco. Then you bring in Shador or Kenny Pickett or whatever it is you do. And then they're just building towards next season. And then Myles Garrett's fed up. This entire defense is pissed. And then things just completely unravel for the Cleveland Browns. So I think because their schedule is so hard to start, and let's be honest, ownership wants to see Shador. They want to see these young quarterbacks play. Flacco's going to start the season. They're going to see if maybe they can shock us all, win a couple of games as some big underdogs, but they're probably going to be 1-5 through the first 6 weeks. There's a good chance they could potentially make a change at quarterback. And then when they do, how many games is Cleveland going to win after that? Are they going to win two more games? Are they going to win three more games? I mean, I really think the Browns could win like three or four games this season. So under 5.5 wins for the Browns is minus 150 for a reason. It's juice quite heavy. I would just take the fewest wins in the league at plus 450. Last year, everybody thought the New England Patriots would be the worst team in football. That's what everybody thought, and they ended up being the third worst team in football. This year, everybody thinks the Saints are going to be the worst team in football, and I kind of tend to think the Saints are probably going to be like the third or fourth worst team. I think the Browns are going to be the worst at plus 450. There's really not a lot to like about this team. Their defense is pretty good, but again, how many games are the Browns going to be up to let Myles Garrett pin his ears back, get after the quarterback, to let Mason Graham get after the quarterback? Like, they do have some nice pieces on the defense, but they'd be a lot better if they were playing with the lead. I don't know if that's going to happen very much this season. Now, Burrow has obviously struggled against the Browns in his career, and Joe Flacco could be making a potential return to Baltimore if he is the starter in week two. So that could be something to look at for the Browns. Maybe they do win one of those games. Maybe they do get off to a better start than I'm imagining. But I mean, I think it's realistic to say there's a chance the Browns start the season 1-5, potentially 0-6 to start the year. And if that happens, you guys, things could get real ugly real fast for the Cleveland Browns. I could see them making a change at quarterback and just seeing if they finally can find a franchise quarterback. That's really what this season is about. They're starting Flacco, but they're not going to end this season with Flacco. It's going to be Shador. It's going to be Pickett. Maybe Dylan Gabriel gets in there, whatever it ends up being. The Browns are just hoping that they can finally find a franchise quarterback. To me, that's what this season's about. It might start with wins and losses, but it's going to end up being about who their quarterback is. Browns fewest wins plus 450. That is the bet I would take with Cleveland. All right, let's talk a little baseball here on Send It In. Phillies and Reds, big series in Cincinnati starting tonight. Taijuan Walker going up against Andrew Abbott. The Reds are minus 120 favorite, and I like Cincinnati as a favorite. Man, has Abbott been good this season. He's been really good at home. I like the Reds minus 120 over the Phils. Twins and Yankees. Yankees a minus 185 favorite tonight against Minnesota. I don't know if I'd be laying minus 185 with the Yankees right now. I know the Twins sold off just about everybody. Their season is done. They're not any good. But minus 185 with the Yankees, maybe you just wait, see if this thing continues to go up and you buy some Twins on the run line, or you wait for the Yankees to get an early lead and then you bet the Twins live in game, because we know that Yankees bullpen has really struggled here as of late. Tigers and White Sox in Chicago tonight. Chris Paddock on the mound for Detroit. And with Chris Paddock as a minus 145 favorite on the road, I'm not buying that. The White Sox have been playing much better baseball. I think there's a good shot they can win tonight. Give me the Sox at plus 120. Fire them up, Shawnee Sharp. Pirates and Brewers tonight in Milwaukee. Andrew Haney against Jose Quintana. Letdown game for the Brewers. They've won 9 in a row. The Brewers never, ever lose. Nobody wants to step in front of this train except I do. Give me the Pirates, +1.5 on the run line. Maybe look at a little bit of money line as well. That Mets series over the weekend was nuts. Comeback win after comeback win. 9 games in a row. They have the best record in baseball by 4 games. And here comes one of the worst teams in baseball into Milwaukee, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Andrew Haney's been pitching pretty good this season. Give me the Pirates today against the Brewers. Nats and Royals in Kansas City. Cade Cavalli making his second start for the Nats on the road. I think this line is too low. I like the Royals tonight at -150. Cardinals and Rockies tonight in St. Louis. We're going to pass on that game. D-backs and Rangers in Texas. Nathan Eovaldi on the mound. Look at a D-backs team total under tonight going up against Nasty Nate. Red Sox and Astros, again for me, I like the Astros on the money line. I just think the price on this game is too high. Garrett Crochet -175 on the money line against Christian Javier, who's coming back from injury. But look at some of these other games on the board. We're getting ready to talk about Dodgers and Angels. Yamamoto with the Dodgers on the mound today is a -175 favorite against the Angels. You're telling me the Dodgers at the Angels should be priced the same way that Red Sox at Astros should be with Crochet on the mound? There's no way. Red Sox should maybe be a -140, -145, not -175. I'll take Houston at plus money. Speaking of those Dodgers, Yamamoto on the mound. Can't wait for Wednesday when we get Ohtani on the mound going up against the Angels. But for tonight, we get Yamamoto. I'll take the Dodgers on the run line. Padres and Giants, Yu Darvish against Logan Webb. I'm taking the over 7 in this game. A lot of Padres hitters with some good history against Logan Webb. Obviously, they have faced them a bunch being there in the division. I think 7's too low because the Padres have good history against Webb. We'll take the over 7. And then Rays Athletics, nothing for me in that game tonight out in Sacramento. All right, let's look into our glass ball. We'll give out the top 10 teams that I like right now in Major League Baseball. Still the number one team for me is the Los Angeles Dodgers. Yes, they only have a 2-game lead on the Padres right now, but they're top-end talent. They're starting to get some more guys back. Ohtani's starting to get more comfortable pitching. Dodgers still the number one team and still the heavy favorites to win the World Series at +230. My number two team in baseball, San Diego Padres at 17-1. Last year, I thought the Dodgers and the Padres were the two best teams in baseball, and after the trade deadline that San Diego had, they've been playing much better. I think they're the second best team in baseball again. Padres 17-1. I think there's some good value there for them to win the World Series. Number three, the Milwaukee Brewers. Best record in baseball. These guys never lose. They had an 11-game win streak, it feels like, a month ago. Here they are with the 9-game win streak. They're getting ready to play the Pirates for 3 games. Their pitching is fantastic. Pat Murphy's done a great job managing that team. Vibes are so high right now in Milwaukee. Number three team at 15-1. Phillies, will put them at number four at +850. Do have my concerns about the Phillies lineup. We know Schwarber and Harper, we can count on them. But Castellanos, Turner, Real Muto, what are we going to get out of these guys when the postseason comes? Their starting pitching is awesome, but the back end of their bullpen a little bit dicey before Duran, and then also that lineup, but I'll put them at number four. Tigers still the top AL team for me, and they are 10-1 to win the World Series. Pitching, pitching, pitching. Nobody's got better starting pitching in the American League than Detroit. We'll put them at 5. Red Sox, I'll put at number 6. Red Sox are starting to turn into the team that I think a lot of us thought they would be going into the season. Crochet's been as advertised. Cora is a very good manager. Their lineup has actually been better since trading Devers. Red Sox number 6. Astros, will put them at number 7. Wow, they trade for Carlos Correa and he turns back into Carlos Correa, because of course he does, because it's the Astros and they're inevitable. They're starting to get guys back. They're starting to get healthier. And when we get to October, there's not a team you would less rather see in the American League than the Houston Astros. Number 8, how about the Seattle Mariners? Are 8-1 since the trade deadline. Good for Seattle, man. Obviously, they've only made the postseason once in like the last 23 years. They're a half game back of the Astros. I still think the Astros are the better team, but the Mariners, if this lineup can continue what they're doing, we know that pitching is good enough. Can the lineup continue to produce? I'll put Seattle at number 8. Cubs and the Mets, they are falling fast, folks. We'll put them at 9-10, but only kind of by default. Cubs right now, vibes are not great. That lineup we knew could not continue to hit the way that they were earlier in the season, but their pitching and their bullpen is starting to let them down. Cubs did nothing at the trade deadline. They just kind of stood there and stayed packed, made some cookie cutter moves. They got Mike Soroka, not enough to move the needle. Cubs at number 9, and then the Mets. That noise you hear is Frank the Tank just continuing to go berserk because the Mets just absolutely make him miserable every single night. All these blown leads that they have, 18-1 to win the World Series. Folks, they were 10-1 to win the World Series last week. That's what losing 7 games in a row will do to you. Better be careful. Reds are only a game and a half back in that third wild card spot. All right, a promo from our friends at BetMGM and any sport parlay boost token. BetMGM account holders will receive an any sport parlay boost token. Score a bigger payout if your wager with the parlay boost token hits. Tokens can be used on parlays and short game parlays. Brought to you by the Sportsbook Born in Vegas, BetMGM. Download the app today. All right, let's get to our best bets of the day here on this Monday. Told you guys there are a lot of hitters in that San Diego lineup that do damage against Logan Webb. Luis Arraez, one of those players, 9-for-17 in his career against Logan Webb. Pretty damn good. Luis Arraez is going to be my guy today in going streaking. Andrew Abbott is going to be my prop lock today. We're going over 17 and a half outs recorded against the Phillies at like -105. Feel like that's way too low. Abbott gets into the sixth inning. We cash this bet. He's been so good, and you got a lot of good left-handed hitters in that Phillies lineup. Schwarber, Harper, think will be able to neutralize them. We'll take Abbott over 17 and a half outs recorded. Dog of the day, give me the Pirates +1.5 against the Brewers. I just feel a letdown coming from Milwaukee. How can they not? Series over the weekend against the Mets was electric. Comeback win after comeback win. Now you got one of the worst teams in baseball coming into town. Give me the Pirates +1.5. And my best bet, a lot of people think New Orleans Saints are going to be the worst team in football. Others think maybe the Giants will be. Tennessee Titans, the Cleveland Browns are going to be the worst team in football this year. +450 for them to have the fewest wins. First 6 weeks of the season, their schedule is not easy. I think they make a quarterback change, and the season just unravels on a Browns' fewest wins at +450. Thanks again to Andrew Jones, one of the best interviews we've done so far previewing these college football teams. Make sure you go listen back to that on the Send It In podcast. We'll talk SMU tomorrow. We'll see you guys then. Have a great rest of your day.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing, even when I don't. And I like the sound of starting my own business, Walton Goggins Goggle Glasses. But I'm an actor. I don't know what I'm doing. I needed help. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. I didn't even realize I needed a social media calendar. GoDaddy Aero will take your idea that sounds good and make a business that looks like you know what you're doing. GoDaddy Aero can get your business up and running in minutes. You know what that sounds like? It sounds like a plan. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.